Everybody, what's going on, everybody? We are live. That's right. Pain Fighters is back on the air. Not that we went anywhere, but you know how it goes. You know, stuff gets, you know, mixed up and confused and whatnot. But hey, we're here today, and we are happy to be here today because now we are moving on to bigger and better things. As you guys know, I am Reverend Lyle Lewis. I am a minister at the Word Evangelistic Church, where the pastor is the Prophet Willie C. Townsend. That's right, I am not the pastor. And the reason why I tell you guys, I make sure to iterate this to you guys, so that should anyone come to the church, you don't expect to see me standing up in the pulpit. I want to make sure that, you know, if anyone tunes in to the wordevangelisticchurch.com or looks us up on YouTube or anything along those lines, you know for certain, I'm not telling you that I'm the pastor. You know that, you know who you're going to be looking for. You're going to be looking for Prophet Willie C. Townsend. He's the pastor. When I tell you guys to look up our YouTube channel, the Word Evangelistic Church, you're looking for him to teach you because, like I tell you guys, I'm only trying to get you to listen to him more so. Don't get me wrong. I'm happy for those of you that listen to me. I'm happy for you that tune in. Thank you very much. By all means, click like and subscribe. But for the most part, I would love for you guys to go on and listen to him because that man taught me. He taught me everything that I know and then some. So by all means, he's got, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm tuned in with God. You know, I have a relationship with God. I, but not like him. You know, I'm, you know, like the Bible says, there's no servant that's greater than his master. You know, my pastor taught me, you know, he's the teacher. There's no student that's greater than the teacher. You know what I'm saying? So he can teach you a lot more. He's got way more experience, way more knowledge and wisdom than I have. You know, he's been in salvation a lot longer than I have. He's got 40 plus years of experience in salvation, whereas I only have 21 years of experience in salvation. So my experience compared to his is only half. So yeah, by all means, go listen to him before you listen to me, by all means, because, you know, like I said, he's, you know, it's not to say that God didn't send me. God is sending me, but understand, you know, for the time being, God is sending me to direct you to him. You get what I'm saying? So by all means, those of you who want to stay on my channel and those of you who want to continue to listen to me on the podcast, please continue to enjoy the content that I bring to you, because I will bring you nothing but the truth, the whole truth, and whatever the Lord would have for me to bring. But like I tell you, if you like what you hear from me, you'll love what you hear from him, okay? So, yeah, but you guys, we're doing big things over here with the channels and everything like that. You guys are just stay tuned. I got a really, really nice surprise for you. Hopefully, if everything works out properly, it'll be coming up in about a month. So yeah. I got something really, really big going on for you guys. So just like I said, stay tuned, you know, continue to listen to the channel. Guys, continue to listen to me on the podcast. And by all means, for those of you that do not know about the YouTube channel on the podcast, listen to me on YouTube. Go to Lewtown Productions and check me out. Please, by all means, click like, subscribe, you know, listen to me, listen to my content. I've got, you know, I've got the Pain Fighters podcast live on the YouTube channel. And then I also got a couple of other random videos of things that I like to do, you know, just little ranting and raving, little garbage that I do for my, you know, the entertainment side of my business. You know, I have my ministry, which is what I'm doing now. And then I also have my business, which is, you know, entertainment. So it's, you know, I you know, kind of, you know, juggle around a couple of things. But nonetheless, you know, when it comes to the Word of God, you know, I'm not looking for anything for this. Thank you to all of you who have donated. Thank you to all of you who have subscribed. Thank you to all of you who have supported. But, you know, again, you know, like the Bible says, freely you receive, so freely you give. So, you know, I'm doing this more or less because I want to see an individual saved and redeemed by God. And I want to see you living your best life in Christ. You know, I'm not about, you know, money and fame and fortune on the ministry end. So, you know, just to make sure that that's clear. So without further ado, you know, and trust me, with this message that I'm about to preach right now, yeah, this is going to prove that I am really not out for like fame, fortune, glory or anything like that, because there's going to be a lot of individuals who are going to hear this message. They're not going to like it. Why? You got to understand, when the word of God goes forth and it goes into the deep portions of what a man is doing, thinking, living, or whatever the case may be, man's not going to like it, because man doesn't like to be told what he can and cannot do. Man does not like to be told that he's doing wrong, you know. But if an individual is trying to be right in the eyesight of God, it's not about what he likes. It's not about what he wants. It's about what God says. You know what I'm saying? There have been many a time where the Lord came to me and told me things. There's not one time that God has ever come to me and I kicked against the word of God, shunned the word of God, threw up a defense to the word of God. Why? Because that was my whole purpose of getting saved for. I got saved so that I can be instructed, directed, so that I can be led, so that in this way, when it's time for me to meet God, I can make it into heaven. I don't know the way. I understand that I don't know the way. So therefore, I need somebody to instruct me. But, you know, the Lord is sending me because, you know, like the he says in the Bible, he says, the labor is great, but the laborers are few. So, you know, I want to go out there. And I mean, the Lord did ordain me as a minister. So why not go ahead and preach the word? You know what I'm saying? So without further ado, let's dive into the message. So today's lesson will be taken from Joshua, the 6th chapter, starting at the 2nd verse. It's going to be 2-4, and then it's going to be 6-9. You're going to see me looking over because I'm going to be, you know, reading from the Bible and, you know, notes and, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, yeah, we're going to be kind of, you know, just follow along. All right. All right. So, and it reads as thus, and it says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand with its knight, with its king and mighty men of valor. Ye shall march around the city, all the men of war going around the city once. Thus shall ye do for 6 days. 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. On the 7th day ye shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets." Let's see. And then go on to the 6th verse. And it says, "So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priest." He said, what did he say? He called the priest and said unto them, "Take up the ark of the covenant and let 7 priests bear the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord." And he said unto the people, "Go forward, march around the city, and let the armed men pass before the ark of the Lord." And just as Joshua had commanded the people, the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord went forward, blowing the trumpets, with the ark of the covenant of the Lord following them. The armed men, which were, you know, the army of God, which were the people chosen for this mission, the armed men were walking before the priests who were blowing the trumpets, and the rear guard was walking after the ark while the trumpets blew continually. Now, we can even add in this 10th verse, it said, "But Joshua commanded the people, ye shall not make your voice heard, neither shall ye shall any word go out of your mouth until the day I tell you to shout, then shall ye shout." Now, our message today will be on marching, okay? Now, the reason why I chose this is because I see a lot of churches out there, they're always doing a lot of marches. They will always want to rally marches against guns, against gangs, against violence, against the police, this, that, this. And churches are always like, "Oh, we need to march and this and that and that and this." But the reason why I wanted to bring this out is because you have it where a lot of these, well, I shouldn't say a lot, all of these churches that are out here marching are doing this with a lack of knowledge. And here's the reason why I say it's being done without a lack of knowledge. If you listen to the verses from the Word of God, from the Bible, see, it says Holy Bible, right? So it's in your Bible. You say you read the Bible, so prove it. You know, don't argue what I'm saying. Go read your Bible and challenge it. You'll see that I'm right. You read in the scriptures how the Bible says, it says, "And Joshua," it said, "and the Lord said unto Joshua." So First and foremost, you got to understand, if God is going to orchestrate a march, he's going to orchestrate a march through a holy man of God. He's going to orchestrate a march through a man that he sends. Okay, now I'm going to break this all the way down so that you guys fully understand what I'm trying to say. Trust me, at the end of the lesson, you'll understand what a true march, what God desires of a true march from an individual or from a church or from whoever. I'm going to show you according to the word of God. I'm going to show you according to what the Spirit of God is telling me of what a march is, that God did, the kind of march that God desires of you. So It said, and Joshua said, and the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand and its kings and mighty men of valor. Now, God already gave Joshua a guarantee. He already told him, I've given these people into your hands, right? So notice how God didn't just call anybody to march, okay? God had people chosen for this task. God had it to where people were like, he said, hey, I'm choosing you and I want you to choose these kind of people. God, I've laid out the scriptures, right? I laid out all the scriptures to where God told Joshua what to do. Then after God told Joshua what to do, he told him who to go and pick. See, what the problem is we have where we're just accepting anybody to go on these marches, and then we're wondering why they don't work. We're wondering why they're not effective. We're wondering why they're not getting us anywhere. We're wondering why there's still gang violence. We're wondering why there's still war on drugs and war on guns and blah, 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 blah. See, when you just have put anything together and it's not properly orchestrated, especially when you're doing something for God, you just throw anything out there, quite naturally, you're not going to get the desired results. Quite naturally, you're going to come up with a bunch of mess. Quite naturally, the only thing that you're going to get is something opposite of what you were trying to go after. So you can't just go out there and just say, I'm going to go and march. You see these individuals who are orchestrating these marches, especially these people from churches, who are orchestrating these marches. When they're going forth and doing this stuff, they're doing it with a lack of knowledge. They're doing it with zeal without knowledge. Why do I say that? Because if they were going to march, they'd do like Joshua did. First and foremost, it would be something that the Lord would have pushed them to do. And I don't mean pushed as in force. I mean pushed as far as like he would have put it in their spirit. Then after he did that, he would have did like he did Joshua. Let's go on to the next verse. Say, ye shall march around the city, all the men of war. All the men of war going around the city once. Thus shall you do for 6 days. He's going to give you instructions. See, when God does anything, when God has a man to do anything, not only does he handpick an individual, but he gives that individual instructions in how to do it. See, the problem is you got it where a lot of people, they just want to just go off of their own mind. And then they wonder why God isn't with them. God may tell them to do certain things. I'm not going to necessarily say he told them to march. Maybe he did tell them to march. Maybe he did not. Only you know if God truly told you to do this. But when you go about doing it any kind of way, it's going to fail. Notice how in the Old Testament, who was it? Let's see. You had Aaron's sons, right? Aaron's sons had offered up an offering unto God, but it wasn't the way that God instructed them to do it. And it was considered strange fire. And notice what God did. God killed them. Why? Because when God gives you instructions, he expects those instructions to be carried out the way that he intended them to be carried out. See, it's just like with any plan. If the plan is not carried out perfectly, stuff goes wrong. If the plan is not carried out in the way it's supposed to be carried out, then you get it where you're not going to get the desired results. You're not going to finish the job, right? You don't know what to expect from the outcome. Sure, things may turn out good, but things may turn out horribly wrong. More than likely, things are not going to turn out very good. They may turn out okay at best, but they're not going to turn out good, real good, the way that they're supposed to. See, look at it. I'll put it to you like this. Let's put it to you like this. If I go to bake a cake and I leave out flour, or I leave out baking soda, or I leave out key ingredients, then the cake is not going to come out the way that a cake is supposed to come out. I might go ahead and bake a cake, but I may leave out the sugar. Is it a cake? No. It's just bread. It's just, it may look like a cake, but when you go to taste a cake, you'd be like, this isn't cake. I want a chocolate cake. All I taste is bitterness. Why? There's no sugar. So therefore, the cake is incomplete. If you don't have all the ingredients in mixed in with whatever it is that God would have for you to do in the instructions of what he told you to do, then whatever it is you're going to do is incomplete. You're walking into a situation ready to fail. Prime example. Look at the children of Israel. When God told them, this is back when Joshua and Caleb went to go spy out the land. When they went to go spy out the land, notice how God told them, the land is yours. But he gave instructions to Moses. Moses gave the instructions to the mighty men, go spy out the land. Now notice how they didn't come back with the faith that God told them that the land was theirs. Instead, they came back with an evil report. Notice, they didn't get the promised land. Why? They didn't carry out the instructions of what God told them to do. He said, go get the land. He said, have Moses go spy him out so that we know what we're up against before we just run off into it. See, God gave Moses the instructions. But when the people came back with an evil report, it wasn't Moses' fault they came back with an evil report. No. It was the people's fault. This is the reason why I say you want it to be that whatever is going on, God is sending you and that he's sending the right people. Now, mind you, these were people that God, and I know I'm diverting back to this, but it all will wrap up. Let me show you. God sent these people, but notice they didn't have a complete faith. They didn't have a whole faith. They didn't have full faith in believing that God was with them. So notice they didn't accomplish what God told them to accomplish. See, this is the kind of thing what I'm telling you. You can't just go picking anybody. You know what I'm saying? See, even with this, even though these were men that God did choose back then to go spy out the land, notice how God was still with the people. He still had them come into the land. He just didn't have that generation go into the land. But notice how God still stood with the people. He's got them going into the land now. You get what I'm saying? So if God does something and the people, it's not going to be God that messes things up. No, it's going to be the people. This is the reason why I said God has to be the individual that chooses the people. So that should anything, it's just like with insurance. You get insurance on your car, you get insurance on your house, you get insurance on yourself. Why? So that should anything go wrong with you, your car, your house, or anything like that, you got somebody who's going to step in and help you out and back you up. This is the reason why we make sure that when we do stuff, we have witnesses and things like that. So why? So that should anything go wrong, we got somebody else who's standing there like, no, that's not what you said, or that's not what he did, or this isn't how it happened. That's the same way that God does things. If God tells you to go and things go wrong, God will bear witness of himself and say, okay, I'll fix it. But when we go and do stuff, notice how when the children of Israel, when they sinned against God and they tried to go back up, notice Moses said, no, don't go back up. God's not with you. They said, we're going to go up anyways. Notice how when they went up anyways, they were destroyed by their enemies. But notice how these men follow God's instructions. The men of Joshua follow God. The men in Joshua's generation follow God's instructions. And look at how it profited them. Joshua's generation went into the promised land. They followed instructions. They listen to the man of God. See, like I said, first and foremost, notice God didn't just call anybody to the march. He called Joshua. Then he goes to the fourth verse, said seven priests, holy men of God. Holy men of God. So he got the mighty men of war and the holy priests and Joshua, who's a holy man of God, who's a holy prophet of God. He didn't just pick anybody. This was specific individuals that God said, these are the people who I want chosen for this mission. Go give them these instructions. Right now it said, who did God tell Joshua to pick up? He said, holy men of God, aka the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant and the mighty men of God. See, God isn't going to just have it be where anything is just orchestrated. He's going to have it be that if anything is being done, it's going to be strategically done according to God's wisdom. See, this is the reason why a lot of people, they go out marching nowadays. All these churches want to go out marching, and then they don't understand why this isn't working for them. You want to know what happens behind that? Satan gets behind these people's thoughts. He gets behind these people's feelings and emotions. And guess what it does? Well, we went out marching, believing that the Lord would do this and that and this and that for us, but he didn't do anything. My son died for nothing. My mom died for nothing. My baby died for nothing. No, you marched for nothing because you went out marching, but you know what I'm saying? Look, all due respect, my heart goes out to all of you all who lost family members and so forth and so forth. It does, because these things should not happen. My heart goes out to those who have been wrong and been done injustice. My heart goes out to you. But if you're going to get with a church to go out on a march against drugs, crime, gang violence, regular violence, black on black crime, Black Lives Matter, politics, whatever the hell it is you're going out there for, you got to make sure that, one, you are saved. See, God isn't going to just march with anybody. See, when you're out there, you don't have God. You don't have salvation. You're out there marching alone. See, this is the reason why salvation is very important to an individual. You get a bunch of saved people go out there and march because the Lord, you know, laid it on an individual's heart to orchestrate a march. And you get a bunch of saved people, people filled with the Holy Ghost, people who are obedient to the Spirit of God, people who live the Word of God wholeheartedly. You get it where you get a bunch of people like that, I guarantee you, things will happen. You'll get something that happens for the people. You'll get it where the marches will be effective. Notice Joshua's march was effective when he went with the people and with the instructions that God gave him. God said, I'm the same yesterday, today, forevermore. But we want to go out and get a little bit of everybody to the march and then wonder, why isn't anything moving? Then you got sinners who are looking at this, why didn't God move in our behalf? You got people who are weak in the faith who went on the march and they're like, why didn't God do anything in our behalf? Because you got people who aren't in the faith. You got people with weak faith. You got a little bit of everybody out there marching with you. What the hell do you expect to accomplish? Nothing. That's what you should expect. Again, look at the scriptures that I'm reading to you. Joshua was chosen by God, was given instruction by God, was told by God who to go and get for the march. Y'all, hey, everybody, we're orchestrating the march. Go get your family. Go get your friends. Go get this person, that person. Have everybody come. You got whoremongers. You got adulterers. You got idolaters. You got liars. You got cheaters. You got murderers. You got other gang members. They're all out there. What the hell do you expect to accomplish with a mess like that? You're not going to get anywhere. But if you're like, hey, go grab that minister from the church who's a mighty man of God. Go grab that man of God from the church who's a mighty man of God. Hey, all the prayer warriors who are not in sin, who are following the word of God, y'all come with me. You might get somewhere. You might. If God really sent you to do it. All right? So it said, and when the people orchestrated marches, it says, when the people orchestrated marches and things like that in today's time, notice, they accept any and everybody to participate. You can't accept any and everybody to participate. You can't. Joshua didn't accept anybody to participate. Notice when they went to war, it wasn't just anybody that went to war. Look at how it was when after. Now notice, now I'm going to go also into when they took the city. Joshua gave them instructions. He said, go in there, take the city. Leave their possessions alone. They are evil in the eyes of God. Don't touch any of their stuff. Now notice, when they followed the instructions, everything worked fine. But notice, the house of Achan went and took the Babylonian garments and some gold or whatever the case may be and hid it in their own stuff. And notice how when they went up to another war, the war after this one, when they took this city, right? They took this city and then they went into the war after it and notice how they got beat. And Joshua was like, Lord, how did this happen? What did God say? He said, get up, there's sin in the camp. So what does this mean? If there's sin in some type of organization of God, then whatever it is you're going to do, it will not. Why? Because God has nothing to do with sin. If there's sin there, God withdraws. If there's sin there, God draws back. But if there's holiness, righteousness, individuals who are living and obedient to the word of God, individuals who are preaching the truth of the word of God, not Bible stories. See, you look at it like, well, you're preaching a Bible story. I'm not preaching a Bible story. Let me tell you the difference between preaching a Bible story and preaching the truth from the word of God. Me preaching a Bible story is me saying, and Joshua did this, and Joshua did that, and the Lord loved him, and the moral of the story is, let's make sure that we do what God tells us to do. That's me teaching a Bible story. Me teaching you the truth from the word of God using a Bible story is this. Hey, this is what's going on. Here's how it applies to your life. Spiritually, naturally, mentally, emotionally, here's how you get close to God. Using this example, like the Bible tells us, it says this is that, this and the other. These things were written for our ammunition. Make sure you go or don't go in the way that God wants you. That's the difference. So you listen to me, you listen to my pastor, individuals like us, we're going to break the word of God down to you. We're going to break the Bible stories down to you. It's not just going to be a bunch of hooping, hollering, noise making, a bunch of testimonies, no, it's going to be the word of God being broken down to you so that in this way it can relate to something in your life. This is the reason why I tell you, you need to go get into a for real church. If you can't find a for real church, by all means, continue to listen to me. Or better yet, tune into the Word Evangelistic Church. Listen to my pastor. See, like I said, I'm just trying to get you guys. It's not about membership, but we want you saved. We want you to hear the truth. You know, those of you who want to be saved, want to live saved, want to stay saved, want to get re-saved, want to get yourself reinstated back in with God. If you're listening to me, you tuned in to the right individual. Because not only will I teach you, but I'm going to send you to somebody who can teach you better than I can. Okay? Going on, it says, everybody God sets for a mission is holy in the eyes of God according to his word. According to his word. Notice what I said, according to whose word? God's word. See, God is going to send individuals out that he knows has his spirit, that he knows is filled with the Holy Ghost, that he knows will listen to instructions, that he knows follows the word of God the way that he intends for them to follow the word of God. If he tells us don't drink, don't smoke, don't curse, don't this, don't that, those are the kind of individuals who he's going to send. Those are the individuals who he's going to ordain. Those are the individuals he's going to call to go and do a work for him. Notice what I said, to go do a work for him. See, God calls everybody to salvation. There's sinners that's listening to me right now. He's calling you to salvation right now. Because I'm telling you, if you didn't get the message with any of the other messages that you listened to me, I'm telling you now, get saved. It is beneficial to you. It will help you in the long run. Trust me, it will. That's God calling you. And he says, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. You're listening to God's voice through me. The Lord is sending me to you. I'm not sending myself. But you got to also understand, you reject me, then you reject Christ. And if you reject Christ, you reject God. Because I'm being sent. It's a whole chain of individuals behind me that sent me. So therefore, when I come telling you what's going on, according to the word of God, according to God, according to the spirit of God, according to your life, this and that, that and this, I'm not just telling you this because I got nothing else better to do with myself. See, when the Lord ordained me to go, I developed myself spiritually, naturally, got myself right in many different ways. I had to overcome stuff. I had to put stuff away. I had to let stuff go. And then I had to do these things so that then this way God could see forth. He sent me. He ordained me, but now he's like, he didn't send me until I got cleaned up. He didn't send me until I put myself in a position. Until I put myself in a position. I didn't wait for God to do it. I didn't wait for God to deliver me. And when I say I didn't wait for God to deliver me, meaning I didn't sit back saying, Lord, I need you to do this. Lord, I need you to do this. Lord, I need you to do this. No, I went after the deliverance by being obedient to the word of God. I went after the healings, the deliverances, the freedom of the mind, peace, the joy. I went after those things. I went after the authority. I went after the power. But see, these are the missions that God set for me. He set smaller missions. See, you want, everybody wants God to give them some big, fantastic, off the wall mission, but you can't follow the small missions. When he says, give up smoking, you can't follow the small missions. When he says, stop committing fornication, you can't give up the small missions. When he says, stop being covetous, you can't give up the small missions. When he says, let go of these other things and put me first. See, God is going to send an individual who has accomplished the small missions. Look at Joshua. God sent him to do a small mission. Go spy out the land. Joshua came back with a good report. He sent Caleb out, go spy out the land. Caleb came back with a good report. Those were small missions. Then he challenged, then he put the bigger missions on them. If you can't do the smaller, you're not going to be able to do the greater. It's not going to be that all of a sudden that here it is, you can't obey the small things, but then some big task is going to be given to you, and now you're going to, no, that's not the way it works. It's the same way with anything you do in math. Look at life. Look at school. You go to school, you start off 2 + 2 = 4. If you don't understand the basics of regular math, you're not going to be able to understand algebra, geometry, trigonometry, calculus, physics. You're not going to be able to understand any of that stuff. Why? You don't understand the basics. You can't do the basics. If I can't read, how the hell am I going to learn to write? I got to learn the basics of reading first. I got to learn the basics of learning my ABCs first. If I've never learned how to count, I'm never going to learn how to do math. So you got to understand, whenever it is that God sends you to do something, you are going to be sent in the way that the Lord wants you to go. He's going to send you. He's going to make sure that you are qualified to go. All right. Now we'll go move on. It said, first we need to see if the pastor's holy. Now, mind you, this is what I keep trying to tell you guys. You guys need to get into a good church home where the pastor is directly connected in with God. If the pastor is not a holy man of God, why the hell are you following him? I wouldn't follow him to the bathroom. Okay? All due respect. Notice, who did God send? He got his prophet. God sent his prophet Joshua. Now, this isn't just concerning with marching. This is going with anything. It just so happened that this is have the message that God gave me. But this is concerning anything, concerning the Spirit of God, concerning the Church of God. Why are you following a pastor that's not holy? First and foremost, pastor, you have to be holy. You want to orchestrate a march? You want to set up a church? You want to orchestrate? I don't care if it's a doggone bake sale. Whatever it is, you have to be holy. You have to set the example. See, I say this because I sit in a church where the pastor sets the example. So these are things that not only do I see for myself from a true leader, but I also know because I've read it from the Word of God. So I know it from the Word of God, and I know it from what I've seen. I know it from what's been taught to me, because from the teaching from a true leader, now I have to exercise my role as a true leader in my home, at my job, wherever I go. I have to be a leader. What do you mean be a leader? Meaning it's not always that I got to rally a bunch of people and say, follow me. No, I got to be somebody that stands out. I'm not going to go the way that everybody goes. Whatever they're doing, I got to make sure that it's being done right. Whatever's going on, I got to make sure I'm following in the right direction. And those that are behind me, I got to say, y'all come with me. By me setting the example. See, when you have it where you've got a true leader, be it a pastor, a father, a husband, whatever, they're going to lead by example. They're going to do things, and then they're going to tell you to do things according to what they have already done. I'm not going to tell you to pay your tithes if I'm not paying my tithes. I'm not going to tell you don't be a whoremonger if I'm a whoremonger. That's me being a hypocrite. I'm not going to be a hypocrite in the eyesight of God. No, I'm going to be a true leader. Because that's what God called me to be. That's the example that was set before me. The same with Joshua. God called Joshua to be a true leader. But notice, God not only called Joshua to be a true leader, but he set him under a true leader, which was Moses, to teach him how to lead. See, like the Bible says, how can one be sent except he's taught? How can one teach? First you have to be taught. But how can one be taught except one be sent to teach? You have to be, I didn't just jump up and say, I'm going to go. No, it took years of me learning, sitting at the feet of my pastor, learning from my pastor, Prophet Townsend, absorbing the Word of God, taking it in. Me seeing the example of this man being a holy, righteous man in the eyesight of God, not in his own eyesight, not according to his own righteousness, but in the eyesight of God. Me following that example. And with me following that example, I was able to grow. With me following that example, I was able to excel. With me following that example, I was able to pull out ahead, get over things that I was battling, stop doing things that I was doing. I was able to grow into the role of a leader. See, don't get me wrong. God can lead you to, he can lead you himself. But again, you want to make sure that it's God that's doing it. How do you know? He's going to back it up in his word. He's going to give you knowledge, wisdom, understanding. He's going to tell you how to deal with people, because he's going to tell you these things and how to deal with yourself and how to deal with yourself concerning Satan and other people and so forth and so forth. And he's going to have you go forth and set the example. See, like I said, it said God, who, the people that God had participate in the march were holy men of God, handpicked by God or by the man of God. And it said, first, we need to see if the pastor's holy, because if the pastor's not holy, how can he pick anybody else that's holy? The pastor's going to go forth picking people like himself. This is the reason why a lot of people ask, well, how is it that the deacons are corrupt in the church? Or how is it that the members are corrupt in the church and so forth and so forth? The pastor is corrupt. It starts from the head and it works its way down. This is why the Bible tells us. It says if the roots are bad, it says that if the roots are unholy, the tree is going to be unholy. If the roots are holy, the tree is going to be holy. If the roots are bad, it starts with the roots. You know, however it is you want to put it. You can start with the roots or it starts with the head. Either way, but it starts from one way or the other and works its way all the way through. If the head of the church, meaning the pastor, the head of the church should be God. But naturally speaking, the head of the church is the pastor. If the pastor is an unholy individual, if the pastor is not an individual that's tied in directly with God, if the pastor is not living up to the standards of what the word of God is, what do you think he's going to do? He's not going to be able to lead you because he's going to be telling you to do stuff that he doesn't know to do. How can he tell you to live holy when he's not living holy? He may tell you to live holy, but it ain't gonna be, it's gonna be a substandard of holiness. It's gonna be a compromise standard of holiness. What do I mean? I mean, he'd be like, yeah, no, we should live holy. We should live holy. But you know, drinking and smoking is okay. No. When God picks a man, if the Lord says abstain from alcohol, that's what that pastor's gonna do. If the Lord says to love your wife and only your wife, that's what that pastor's going to do. And then he's going to set that example in his church. And he's going to enforce that in his church. Not just set the example, but enforce that. See, Joshua enforced it. Like what I said earlier, when the children of Achan took the stuff and God said, get up there, sin in the camp, go find out who it is that's got the sin. I'll help you and direct you to who it is. Joshua didn't put it off like, you know, I'd hate to see it. No, Josh was like, no, okay, that's what you want me to do. Time to go. We got to get the sin out of the camp. It was all business. So you got too many, these pastors are too tied up in all other kinds of dumb stuff. Politics, doggone riches, fortune, fame. They're trying, That's not what the pastor should be tied up in. The pastor should be tied up in the word of God, in the spirit of God. The pastor should be tied up in leading the flock as the Lord told him to. The pastor should be tied up in being a true watchman over the sheep of the children of God. That's what he should be tied up in. So that when God needs to deal with him, he should be tied up in studying. He should be tied up in the word of God. He should be tied up in prayer. So that when God needs to do him to do something or reach the people or tell the people something, he can deal directly with him so that he can reach the people. And he knows exactly what to say. All right. First, we need to see that the pastor is holy. If the pastor is not holy, he won't pick holy people. Prime example, who did Joshua pick? Who did Joshua pick to go with him? It wasn't just anybody. It wasn't people weak in the faith. It wasn't people who just some random person just roaming by. Hey, come over here. Hey, you want to do something? Come on over here. No, it was individuals that God said, these are the kinds of people who I want you to pick. Go forth and find them. So Joshua, knowing what God was looking for, Joshua went forth and looked for those individuals, the holy priests, the mighty men of valor who were going forth for the war. Then here's another reason why. When you do what God tells you, you want a pastor who's going to do what God tells him to do. See, this is the reason why I said we need to see if the pastor's holy. The pastor's not going to follow instructions from God. How can he give instructions from God? See, it's one thing to tell you to do something, but it's a whole other thing to tell you and have you follow their example. See, this is the reason why a lot of parents have problems with their kids. This is the reason why a lot of these churches have problems in their churches, because the leader, the head, the root, whatever you want to call it, is bad. They're not doing. Parent, you want to tell your kids to stop cursing? You stop cursing around them. Parents, you want to tell your kids don't drink and smoke? You stop drinking and smoking around them and find out what environment they're around and pull them out of that environment as well. Pastor, you want to make sure that your deacons aren't whoring around? You stop whoring around. You want your church to live holy? You live holy. You want your church to live by a certain standard? You live by the certain standard first, laid out by the word of God. If you're supposed to be a pastor, you know the standard the word of God has set for you. This is the reason why. I don't care if it's a march. I don't care if it's just a regular service. I don't care what's going on. A lot of these churches are falling apart because we don't have good leadership in these churches. We don't have good leadership to lead the people of God to where God wants them to be. No, we've got wolves in sheep's clothing. We've got hirelings that are just in there looking to collect the money from the people. Long as you collect the people's tithes, you can care less what happens to them, spiritually or naturally. This is the reason why I tell you the truth about our church. We don't care about membership. Don't get me wrong. We'd like for you to be a member of our church, but that's not our mission, is to get you to be a member. Because you got a lot of people who are in church and they're still on their way to hell. So it's not about the membership. We want you saved. We want you saved. That is our main mission at the Word Evangelistic Church. That's my main mission here on the Pain Fighters Podcast. That's my pastor's main mission when he teaches in the Word Evangelistic Church. Every telecast, streamline, whatever that he does is to help the people to get saved, to draw the people closer to God. That's what we're trying to do. And that's what a man of God will do. If the pastor's holy, that's what he's going to try to do. He's going to preach the word of God to you. Break the word of God down to you so that you can understand it. Break it down to you so that it can register in your life and show you the areas where you're letting God down. Show you the areas where you need to change. Show you the things that you need to do so that then this way you can get right with God. Okay? Now, prime example says, look at Samuel and Saul. When God rent the kingdom from Saul, how many missions did God send Saul on? How many things? When God took the kingdom away from King Saul, how many missions did he send Saul on? How many wars did he send him to fight after that? None. How many times did God come back and deal with him? None. It's the same way with these pastors. This is the reason why I say, you know, you guys want to go out here with all these marches and all this other kind of stuff. Wait a minute. Is God with you? Is God really with you when you're going to do this? See, this is one thing, especially if you're being the leader of this organization, saying that you're going out, that God called you to do it. Slow down. Did God really call you to do it? Or are you doing this for your own glory? Are you doing this because of your emotions and your feelings? Are you doing this because somebody else is telling you that this is the right way to do it? Are you doing it because you read it in the Bible and you're like, oh, that's a good idea? You can't just jump up and do stuff. Especially when it comes to important stuff. I don't care what it is. Marching, leading a church, leading a family, whatever. You need to be instructed by God. Yeah, leading a family. Yes, yes. Being a father, being a mother, you need to have God in your life so that you can lead your children with wisdom, knowledge, understanding, patience, love, compassion. Did I say wisdom and knowledge? Because if I didn't, I'm saying again. So that then this way, you can make sure the right outcome of your family turns out. You want your kids to head in the right direction in life? You need to head in the right direction in life first. Like I said, it starts with the head, the root, whatever you want to call it. It starts there and it trickles out. You want good children? Be a good parent. You want good members? Be a good leader of the church. I watch my pastor all the time. He's a good pastor. I'm not saying it's because he's my pastor. I'm saying it because it's fact. You don't believe me? Come to the church and check it out. He's a good leader that leads the people in the way of righteousness. We follow him in that way. Why are my people following me? Are you setting the right example? Why do my family disrespect me? Are you setting the right example? It's just as simple. You said, look at Samuel. Now God didn't send Samuel on any missions. Saul on any more missions. It was even the same thing with Paul and Barnabas. Mark. Paul and Mark. Mark was traveling with Paul and Barnabas and they were doing stuff and, you know, missionary work and blah, blah, blah. But then something happened where Mark drew back from the mission. And Paul said, I can't bring him. He's an unprofitable individual. I can't bring him. Why? He drew back. If any man draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Paul didn't see no use for him anymore because he's like, one, how are you going to draw back from the mission that we set out to do? See, this is the reason why, like I said, you got to have the right kind of people on the mission with you. Whatever your mission in God is, you got to have the right kind of people with you to do it. If you've got a group of people, You have to be the right individual to do the mission. You got to understand, don't get me wrong, just because I'm teaching you and blah, 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 if I don't guard myself, if I'm not obedient to what the Spirit of God tells me to do, if I'm not making sure that I monitor my spirit, my inner man, and so forth and so forth, I can easily let it go astray and become an unworthy, unprofitable servant. I can easily let that happen. So I, in the midst of still teaching, you still have to follow the instructions that the Lord gives to me so that then this way I can make sure to lead you guys in the right way. It's not just going to be that you made it to leadership status, you made it. No, you still have to constantly keep yourself in standard with God. Keep yourself in right standard with God. Keep the Holy Ghost stirred up within you. Keep the obedience to the faith. Keep listening to God and what he has for you to do and how he wants you to be. Why? It's all profitable for you. You may get rebuked a little bit, may hurt. Ow, okay, it is what it is. Move on, correct it, move on. Grow out of it, it is what it is. Anything that God tells you to do, any instruction God gives you, trust me, it's for your benefit. It may not seem like it up front because your flesh may try to argue against it, but once you do what God tells you to do, trust me, you'll be glad that you got rid of it. You'll be glad you picked it up. Whatever it is that the Lord told you, had you to do or not do, or tell you to pick up or put down, you'll be glad that you was obedient if you were obedient. And then when God sees you're obedient to these things, when he sees that you're striving for these things, then he's gonna start dealing with you and doing greater things. I worked my way up in God, doing small things, overcoming small challenges, defeating small things in my life. And as time went on, God saw that and made it. He saw that that was profitable. That if I could see him do small things, overcome small things in his life, I could trust him with greater things. This is the reason why he put it on my heart to come and do this. Teach the people, reach the people, draw the people in so that the people can listen to a man of God. Listen to a man of God who can direct them to a greater man of God. Believe what you want. This is no cult. This is no doggone hippie organization. No, these are true men of God this is a true man of God that I'm directing you to. Or true church of God that I'm directing you to. Holy teaching that I'm directing you to. The truth of the word of God is going to teach you about you that I'm directing you to. The right way that I'm telling you about. See, you got to where a lot of churches are doing things wrong. People are doing things wrong. And everybody's always just acting like, they're not hurting anybody. Who says they're not hurting anybody? We need to stop looking at just because, well, we're not hurt. No, no, you are hurting somebody. You're hurting yourself. You're making yourself look bad. And a lot of times when you go doing stuff like that and you're not qualified, you're not ready, it wasn't that God sent you or whatever the case may be, you go doing stuff like that, you're hurting God's reputation. This is the reason why the Lord has people come and say, hey, whoa, don't do that. Or say, go do that. Because there's many people out there on these marches that now they don't believe in God. Why? Because they figured that because the pastor told them that this march is going to help solve the problem, and it didn't. You need to be careful what you put God's name on. God, notice everything I told you from my notes. God had something to do with it. He's the one that orchestrated. He's the one that called the people. He's the one that said, go and do and this and that, that and this. And he called certain people who were going to do the job and make sure that the job would be done effectively. He didn't just call anybody, all right? Now, in the process of that, he says, you know what I'm saying? Now, the army of God, now when Joshua went forth and there was sin in the camp, notice what God did. He drew back. This is what I was telling you guys earlier. When there's sin in the camp, when there's sin among you, God's not with you. This is the reason why I said, if you're going to go march, call holy men of God. Don't just call anybody to the forefront. No, call men of God who are full on men of God. They don't have stuff hidden and hiding down in them. They're not doing stuff on the side or in the dark. No, these are men who you can read their lifestyle like a book, and the whole lifestyle is something where it's like holy and acceptable in the eyesight of God. Not just somebody who's just this person, this random person, that person. They don't have faith. They're an unbeliever. You know, they're just out here because their mother has them out here. Y'all got a little bit of everybody out there marching with you. And then you wonder why things aren't working for you. Come on, man. It says when God, when Joshua had departed from the army of God, why? Because they were sitting in the camp. Now look at what happens after the people march in today's time. There's sin amongst you. All y'all are marching, but you're marching in the name of God. But there's sin among you. People living any kind of lifestyle. People that don't even believe in God. And they're all marching along with you. What do you think that? Let me ask you this question. You know what I'm saying? Look, y'all, everybody who, I'm sure all of you have drank juice, soda, you know, whatever. What happens when you add water to the mixture? What happens when you add something else to the mixture? It changes it, right? It's not the original thing. My prime example, right? You're drinking juice, Kool-Aid, doggone soda, whatever it is. You're drinking tea, you're drinking coffee. Now notice, the more you add water to it, the more you add ice to it, the more you add sugar to it, the more stuff you add to it, notice how it changes it. The more water you add to it, the less it is, the, you know what I'm saying, the less taste you have of the original product. If it's juice, you add water to it, notice, you can pour, you know, you pour enough water into something, it turns into water. Same with the other way. You pour enough juice in the water, it'll turn into juice. Why? It's going to push all the old stuff out. But if you got it mingled in, it's not the way, you know what I'm saying? Medicine doesn't work as effectively. If you are taking, I'm just saying, you're taking a Benadryl, NyQuil, some kind of cough medicine or something like that, Pepto-Bismol, and you pour a whole thing of water in it and you go to drink it, it's not going to work as effectively as if you drink it straight. It's the same way in God. Things are not going to work in God effectively if you water it down with all kinds of people that God's not with. If God sends you to do something, he wants it full on God. Not God and the world. The world, they don't mix. They don't. It's like oil and water. They don't mix. Light and dark, they don't mix. What concord has Christ with Belial? What concord has clean with unclean? You can't mix clean and unclean. You can't mix the children of God with the children of Satan and say, let's go on a mission. It's not going to work. Joshua didn't have a mixture of people. He had only one kind of people with him. But when the people sinned in the eyesight of God and they turned themselves to the other kind, notice, God made sure that they failed until they got rid of that. And then they went forth and dominated the other armies. Why? They got the sin out of the camp. Why? They got everybody back on one accord with God, back in right standard with God, heading all in the same direction. There's a key component of unity. Unity means if we're all on one accord, we're all in the same page, we're all heading in the same direction, we're all doing the same thing, walking according to the same rules. But when you get it where one person stops doing that, then we're not all walking the same rules. We need to get that individual out. Otherwise, he's going to corrupt the rest of us. How? The Bible even tells us a little leaven leavens the whole lump. What does that mean? Meaning, hey, if you get somebody who's doing something in the midst, what do you think is going to happen when other people see that he's doing that? Why do you think it is that so many people leave God? Because they see other people left God. They see other people aren't serving God. And they're like, well, hell, they're doing okay. They're living life. Everything's happening for them. Nothing bad's going on in their life. I was told that if you walk away from God, all kinds of bad stuff's going to happen. If he's not serving God, why do I have to? And they go off and leave the church. They go off and leave God. Pastor's not living right. Why do I have to live right? I'm going to live like he lives, live any kind of way I want to. Then when these people die and go to hell, or when they leave the church and then bad stuff happens to them, they're looking like, how could this happen? What happened? Following bad examples. The leaven from them, meaning the example that they set, Bible even tells us evil communication corrupts good manners. Communication isn't just me talking. Communication is also the lifestyle. Let me get to this one point. I want to get to this one note because, you know, we got to end the podcast pretty soon. But it says, you know, when I remember how I told you guys, I'm going to tell you what a true marching God is. Okay, the march, the true march. You want to march on guns, drugs, gang violence, politics, whatever. You want to march on this? Let me tell you what the march is. The march will be the people picking up their cross and following Christ. That march right there will cancel. That will trump any march up and down, doggone King Drive that you can do. You want to go marching up King Drive? You want to go marching up doggone Lakeshore Drive? You want to go marching up 45th Street or whatever doggone street, valley, alley, or whatever you've got in your doggone city, community, or town, or whatever the hell the case may be? You want to do it? Just walk cross, carrying your cross. What do I mean? Living the life that God wants you to live. Following the word of God. I don't need to go walking up and down. We shall overcome. I don't have to do that. No. All I got to do is live a lifestyle in the eyesight of God. Me living the way that God wants me to live, in the right way, in the right standard, according to the word, that's my march right there. That's the march that God desires of all people. You get people who get saved, people who listen to the word of God, I guarantee you, you'll stop the gun violence. I guarantee you, you'll stop the war on drugs. I guarantee you, you'll stop the police from harassing everybody. I guarantee it. Why? Number one, the people will be living holy. So therefore, violence will go ahead and drop. Drugs, it violates what God has for us to do. So it violates how God would have for us to operate in him. So therefore, that'll be put away. A lot of these doggone kids will stop following doggone wrong examples out in the street because they'll have parents at home that they can follow the right examples in the home. You'll have parents that care, parents that are there, parents who are present, who are there paying attention to their children, able to guide them, lead them, and instruct them, not only through instruction, but also through example. That's what the true march is. The march will be the lifestyle that compels the families, that compels the neighborhood, that compels the police, that compels who the hell ever it is that you're trying to compel. You don't need to go out there gathering a whole group of people. You can be a whole group of people by yourself. Why? Didn't David, when he stepped into Goliath, he said, I stand up before you in the name of the Lord of hosts. You got a whole group about you every day. The Bible tells us we're compassed about with such a grand stand of witness. You had it in the Old Testament where the one young man was like, Lord, there's more. You know, how can we go up? The army is vast. The prophet looked to God and said, Lord, open the young man's eyes. When he opened his eyes, he seen the army of God standing with him. He said, wow, there's more for us than against us. You've got a whole group of people behind you. You don't need naturally people behind you. You need God behind you. You need God with you. Why? Because the Spirit of God, the encampment of God, the power of God, everything of God is around you. That will be the people that marches with you. Live a good lifestyle. Set the good example. Be the difference. I assure you, you get people, you first and foremost, you start with good leaders in the church. Good pastors in the church who's preaching the word of God the way that they're supposed to be preaching it, preaching the truth of the word of God, telling the people about themselves, telling the people how to get saved and get rectified and back in good standing with God, telling the people how to live a saved life, it will trickle down. And I guarantee you, the people will get saved. And then they will help their families to get saved. And then families will help the neighborhood to get saved. And so on and so forth and so forth. But when you got people who forever neglecting the word of God, denying the word of God, and unbelief towards the word of God, then yeah, you got to go out and do a march. Jesus didn't march. Paul, Peter, Matthew, Mark, Luke, James, John, none of them marched. But it said they saved the people. They preached to the people. They led the people to Christ. They had the people get taught so that they could receive the Holy Ghost. They baptized them. The people got saved. So I say this in my close. Only men of God and holy men of God. Women, doesn't matter. Men, women, doesn't matter. Only true people of God can actually make things happen. You don't have to get a group of people and walk marching up the street. Your everyday life is your march. Your everyday lifestyle, the decisions you make, the way you live for God, the way you live in God, that right there will tell all the everybody everything that they need to know. That will tell them that they need to get their lives right. That will tell them everything of how they ought to be and how they ought to live and how they ought to deal with their neighbors or whatever the case may be. You don't need a whole group of people. It'd be great, great, and yeah, but you don't need it. All you need to do is live in right standard, set the example through the way that God told you to do it. This is me signing off. You guys stay safe, be safe, God bless.